We are glad that you were able to arrive here this morning despite the inclement weather. For the beginning of the great season of Lent, I always mention briefly because we get the question, and it's an important point of catechism for you, when you are asked, and we are asked rather, well, why it is that we priests do not have the ashes signed on our foreheads. Certainly we are bearing the ashes on us throughout the day today, just as you are. However, as we are tonsured, all clerics, that is, anyone who has received the tonsure, that is the ritual clipping of the hair to enter the clerical state, henceforth receives ashes on the crown of his head. And of course, for some of us, this is more visible than for others. So that is the reason why we do not have it on the forehead, but rather on the place where we received the sacred tonsure as we entered the clerical state. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All of you who follow along faithfully in your hand missals at Holy Mass know that there is a prayer that we find every day which goes by the name of collect. Pronounced that way rather than the verb collect. And the best way to understand that is that this first prayer that we find every day in the Mass sums up, as it were, the meditation, the primary theological or spiritual consideration of the day. Certainly that is the case today on Ash Wednesday, and indeed this prayer represents all that we shall undertake in the 40 days that now begin. Grant, O Lord, to thy faithful people that they may undertake with fitting piety the venerable solemnities of fasting, and complete them with steadfast devotion through Christ our Lord. We have indeed entered now that great season, of which St. Augustine wrote so long ago in preaching to his flock, fasting cleanses the soul, raises the mind, subjects one's flesh to the spirit, renders the heart contrite and humble, scatters the clouds of concupiscence, quenches the fire of lust, kindles the true light of chastity. It is that great season of which one holy pope, Benedict XIV, wrote 300 years ago, the observance of Lent is the very badge of Christian warfare. By it we prove ourselves not to be enemies of the cross of Christ. By it we avert the scourges of divine justice. By it we gain strength against the princes of darkness, for it shields us with heavenly help. Should mankind grow remiss in their observance of Lent, it would be a detriment to God's glory, a disgrace to the Catholic religion, and danger to Christian souls. Neither can it be doubted that such negligence would become the source of misery to the world, of public calamity, and of private woe. Having heard these words, we might perhaps wonder at the fact that it was this same Pope who, in announcing the glories of Christian warfare, which are to be found in these sacred 40 days, also announced in 1741, that for the first time in history, Christians throughout the world would now officially be allowed to consume animal products during these 40 days. We must not understand that to mean that this Pope in the early 18th century did this overnight and took everyone unawares. He was rather recognizing the reality that such dispensations had been given locally for a very long time, sometimes indeed with very good reason. For instance, countries in Northern Europe were allowed to consume dairy products, as they certainly could not be expected to find things like olive oil. This was just common sense, and the church, as a gentle mother, did not wish to impose things on her children which would be impossible to observe. Indeed, even in some places, on certain occasions, meat was allowed to be eaten. But now, for the first time, it was being permitted as a general rule that on some days of Lent, meat could henceforth be consumed along with dairy products. When we look at it from our perspective, it is easy to see this as, especially when we fast forward to the mid-20th century, as what led up to the state in which we find ourselves today, where officially we have only 2 days of fasting on the entire calendar. Whereas before, throughout the church year, we could count dozens of days of fasting. Now, we find only two which form a sort of framework of this season of penance, Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. Certainly, we can be tempted to lament this, and we would not be off the mark in doing so. We can indeed lament the fact that the practice of Lent has grown so lax in our time. But let us not forget what the Church truly teaches, even in our day. The 40 days of Lent are still, under universal Church law, declared to be days of penance. Rather than considering this a time of relaxation of the Lenten duties, let us rather be reminded of the fact that any penitential practices we undertake during these 40 days must be in order to practice the virtue of penance. This might seem quite obvious, but I do not think it is. Already, and even in former times, we were warned, indeed, this comes back to the Old Testament itself. We are warned in the days that follow now in the Lenten Ferias, behold, in the day of your fast, your own will is found. If the people of the Old Testament could be reproached by the Lord in this fashion, and indeed the Church has kept it as a reminder to all the Christian people throughout the ages, certainly we can see how it applies to us today. If the fast is relaxed in our time, it is not because people today are incapable of fasting. Quite the contrary. Fasting, it would seem, in secular culture, is more popular than ever. Thus, it would be very easy for any of us to undertake a fast at this time or at any time for reasons of vanity or simply out of concern for health. The health concerns, at least, are not necessarily amiss, but they cannot be equated to the virtue of penance. Whatever our penitential practices may be during these days, they must be for that virtue. The virtue of penance is the virtue by which we deplore the deeds of our sinful past and turn again to God. We began the penitential season of Advent with the awesome reflection that the whole world will come to an end. We meditated on the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, which is the beginning of any true conversion. And the season of Lent begins with the same thought, only now it is not the end of the world, which is our meditation, but the impending end of our own life. This thought should inspire in us a healthy fear of God, not a servile fear, but the fear of a child toward a loving father whom he has offended. At the imposition of ashes this morning, we heard the antiphon, "Let us amend for the better in those things in which we have sinned through ignorance, lest suddenly overtaken by the day of death, we seek space for repentance and are not able to find it." Ignorance. Surely none of us can plead that. We cannot ask God for forgiveness simply on the basis that we did not know our actions were wrong. What can be the true meaning of this prayer? I would propose to you that it is an ignorance due to a lack of consideration of two things: that our life will soon be over, and we have a terrible price to pay for our unrepentant sins. This thought should occupy the first part of our Lenten journey. And secondly, if we may recall this culpable ignorance, the second thing that we must recall is the most bitter passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has paid the price for our sins to save us from eternal damnation. Today our Lord warns us, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, sad, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. We might then ask, why are we doing seemingly precisely what our Lord has told us not to do? Why are we disfiguring our faces and flaunting our penitential practices before men? Will we not be rightly accused of hypocrisy? The answer to this objection lies in the teaching of our patron, St. Francis de Sales, who writes, in order that Christ's redemption may be applied to us, we must do penance. We must not deceive ourselves, for our forefathers have all passed by that way. Young and old, small and great, in short, all have washed their feet and their hands in the waters of penance. That is precisely what we are doing this morning. In this ceremony today, we are applying Christ's redemption to our lives. We have not disfigured our faces. We have taken ashes, the ancient symbol of penance, and marked our faces with the sign of our salvation. We are not trusting in ourselves or declaring our self-righteousness. We are placing our trust in the cross, our only hope, and professing our faith before a world which has always seen that cross as a disgrace or as utter foolishness. We are sad for our sins, but joyful in the space for true repentance. Today we are all called to be fools for Christ's sake. Count it your greatest glory if you are mocked today because of your faith. Pray for those who do not understand. Freely admit your faults before others and ask forgiveness. Take up the great arms of penance. Abstain from pleasure in what you eat, what you listen to, what you read and watch. But remember that your sanctification does not end there. As I reminded you last Sunday, and as our Lord will soon remind us again, it is not what comes into us that defiles us so much as what comes out. What comes out comes from a sinful heart. So rend your hearts and not your garments. Let your fasting from food serve as a curb on a venomous tongue. For thus our fast and our whole Lenten observance shall be pleasing to Almighty God, to whom be all glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.